Well, it's good to be with you this morning. Yesterday, I had the privilege of going to boys' camp. I hadn't been at boys' camp in probably 20, 30, 30-some years. Played softball there. And I just wanted to say thank you to Bethel and to Ricky and Laverne and everybody who helped make that possible. Christopher had a good time there at camp. Appreciate y'all doing that and inviting our young fellows to come attend. So thank you. I enjoyed watching all the dads that were there interacting with their young fellas. Some of them played softball and many just watched. I was tempted to just watch, but I played. Somebody said, or I thought maybe I'd have to have a wheelchair to get up here this morning. Well, this morning, the message that we're going to be looking at is actually directed at us fathers. And it's a message I preached in Floyd back actually at Father's Day, but I think it's relevant to any time of the year because we fathers have a year-round job. But it's not just directed at us dads, but also at us children. All of us are children, and we all have a father, whether they're still living or not. And I want to just say that I understand that we have a diverse group here this morning and with different experiences. And not all of us have had good experiences with our father and with our parents. And I just want to recognize that. And the purpose, I would say, of this message is just to encourage us as dads to do our job well and to encourage us as children to do what we can in our relationship with our father if we still have one living. I would just like to ask all of you who are dads just to stand up. If you're a father this morning, just stand up so we can see how many of us are here. A good group. Now, I'm going to ask you, y'all can go ahead and sit down. Thank you for that. All of us are children. We all have a dad. But I would like to ask this. How many of you are over 50 and still have a living father? Raise your hand. If you're over 50 years old and still have a dad that's living, do I only see two hands? Wow. There's a verse I'd like to look at this morning to start with, and I don't want you to turn there, but I'd like you to listen and let it formulate a picture in your mind, and then I'm going to ask you to describe what you're seeing in this verse. It's Proverbs 17, verse 6. It says, "Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers." Just think about that. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. What do we see in that as a picture? What's the situation here? I'd like feedback. When I preach, I like y'all to be involved. Generational godliness. So we see generations here in this picture. Relationships benefiting from each other. Multi-generational. Yes. Anything else? How much you enjoy your grandchildren? Communication. Yes. Delight. Yes. Yes. I see at least three generations in this picture. You have a grandparent or grandfather, and you have his son or children, and you have grandchildren. Let me just read it again. It says, children's children, that's the grandchildren, are the crown of old men. I see that as just being a delight. And then it says, the glory of children are their fathers. I appreciate what y'all's picture that y'all mentioned. Grandfather delighting in his grandchildren, children honoring their father. And I think this is a picture of what God would like to see in family. Multi-generational relationships where there's love and respect and honor. And a lot of us have experienced some of that at some level. I don't think any of us have experienced this in perfection. Our fathers have made many mistakes. They're just men. And we as children have also had our share of shortcomings and have probably made things difficult for our dad. I know I did. But I think this is a picture of God's ideal for how this relationship should look. Most of us, if we live to be a reasonable age, can be a connection between five generations. If you knew your grandfather, and if you live long enough to know your grandchildren, that's five generations that are connected through you. And if you're a firstborn of a firstborn, you have a pretty good chance of connecting seven generations. That's a long time frame and a lot of people. That could be over connecting people that go for 120 plus years. And then with every new generation that comes along, there's an overlap. And I just think that's a beautiful thing to consider. And if we have those multi-generational relationships and good connections there, it provides a tremendous opportunity for a sharing of wisdom and knowledge and faith and those kinds of things. And it brings a lot of stability for a child to develop in and for us to grow up in. We know where we came from. But that's not the reality for a lot of people. In fact, most people, that's simply not a reality. In America, I found that one in every three children do not live with their biological father. That's an astounding number to think about. One in three children don't live with their dad, with their biological father. And I think it was one in four don't live in a home with a father figure. Something else that's happening in recent decades that I think society is waking up to this fact. And there's a little article in a psychology, there's a website that I found. But this phenomenon of parent and child, adult-child estrangement. Let me just read a little part of this article, and I quote here. It says, experts are reporting that we may be in an epidemic of adult children cutting off contact with their parents. In one recent study, researchers found that 26% of young adults are estranged from their fathers and 6% are estranged from their mothers. The parents report that these estrangements often happen without notice or explanation, leaving them feeling deeply hurt and in the dark. And I've been just in some of the reading that I've done, that it's kind of becoming a normal, accepted thing in our culture to just to go no contact with parents. And we've probably all heard of that happening. And what's happening in our society that would cause this to be? Adult children walking away from relationships with their parents. And this isn't only happening in seriously dysfunctional home settings or in abusive situations, but in normal families. Broken homes. We're not going to talk about all the reasons why that may be happening. They're pointing to a number of things. Well, I'll just mention two of them. Seems like there's a generation that's grown up that hasn't learned how to work through conflict within relationships. Social media has driven people down this path of feeling like relationships are optional and you can just turn them off. And modern psychotherapy is conditioning people to think that just turn off the toxic relationships. Those kind of things are being taught and counseled. Cancel culture and family relationships. If dad makes me uncomfortable or disagrees with me, I can cancel him out of my life. And that's just the reality of the culture that we're living in. And that's not what God would want. And it's not a new thing. If we think back through God's word, the story of humanity, there's been over and over these kinds of sad, broken relationships happening. I think of Abraham and Ishmael, and that Abraham had to send Ishmael away with his mother. And there was a father and a son, and that relationship was severed. Think of Isaac and Rebekah and their boys. And Isaac loved Esau because he was a hunter and he liked to eat his venison. And Isaac liked that venison, so he liked Isaac. Or he liked Esau, I should say. But Rebekah loved Jacob because he hung out with her in the kitchen. And so there's this family conflict and favoritism and a breakdown in relationship there. David and Absalom is another sad example. And whenever I read the story of David and Absalom, it about makes me want to cry. Because when you read through there, I really think that David had a longing in his heart to connect with his son. And I think Absalom had a longing down in there to connect with his father, and yet somehow they couldn't resolve the issues. And the story ended with a dead son and a heartbroken father. And the first family division that happened all the way back in the beginning is when the first son and daughter rebelled against their father and he had to remove them from his presence. It was a sad and dark day when sin came into the world and caused that rift between a father and his children. And ever since then, sin, rebelliousness, pride, selfishness has caused conflict and division in so many relationships. But there's a promise of restoration that I would like to look at here. If you would turn to the last two verses of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 4, and we'll read the verse 5 and 6. Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." Now, I don't claim to understand this verse in its entirety and how this prophecy is to be fulfilled in the timeline, but I believe the way I would read it is that it's a pointing to the coming of the kingdom of God. Elijah here could possibly be John the Baptist. Jesus told his disciples that Elijah was coming and it was John the Baptist. But there's a promise here that God is going to begin turning the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. And I believe that this is one of the things that happens when Christ comes in his kingdom. A restoration of relationships. So we could look at this verse and realize that there's a problem here. Maybe the dads are too busy or too preoccupied, and maybe they're proud and maybe they're selfish and not taking time for their children. But their hearts are not turned towards their children. And maybe the children are rebellious and maybe they're stubborn or simply uninterested in dad because he's just an old man that is out of touch with the times, and dad's instructions fall on deaf ears. And how could we honor an imperfect father? But there's hope here in this verse, because the hearts of the fathers will be turned towards the children, and the hearts of the children will be turned to the fathers. God is really interested in restoring relationships. He's really interested in restoring this relationship. And we can see his heart for that in how he went about restoring relationship with his children. He sent his son, John 3:16-17, to the world so that he could save the world. And then if you go to Galatians 4:4-7, talks about the fullness of time coming, God sending forth his son to redeem them that were under the law, that we may receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, "Abba, Father, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." So it was sin that separated humanity from God, Adam and Eve from God, our Father, and then Jesus came to redeem us, to restore that relationship. So I believe part of the redemption plan of God is not only to redeem us to himself, but to redeem relationships among people. Husbands and wives, parents and children, siblings, neighbors, and so on. Where the kingdom of God goes, there's going to be restoring of relationships. Turning the hearts of the father to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. God's plan for family is beautiful. But how do we get there? From where we are today, what is my responsibility as a dad? What's my responsibility as a son or a daughter? I don't think any of us claim to have grown up in a perfect home. And as already said, some of us have had rough homes, maybe traumatic homes. But I believe that God's heart is for us to, from where we are now, to move forward, and he can begin to redeem these relationships in our homes and between us and our dad, if we still have one. I would just say that in any relationship, there's two sides. There's my side and there's the other side. And really, to have a good relationship, you need the engagement of both sides. I think David and Absalom, I think they both wanted it, but they didn't know how to bring themselves to that. I wonder if David would have humbled himself, if there could have been restoration or vice versa. But it takes two sides to have a good relationship. But I also believe that before God, we're responsible not for what the other side does, but for what I do on my side. How am I relating? So for us dads, what's our responsibility to our children? We dads wear a lot of hats, so many of them, in fact, that sometimes they just fall off the top, and we drop things, and we miss things, or we don't handle things well or right. At least that's my experience. We come up short. I would like us to think just a little bit about what is the responsibility or the role of a father supposed to be. And who are we supposed, not only what are we supposed to do, but who are we supposed to be as a dad? Because I believe that if we don't carry out our role well, it's going to be more difficult for our children to relate to us as they should, if we're missing these things. So again, I'm going to open it up and I want your feedback here. Just let's list some things that's a dad's responsibility. And they can be very basic or more nuanced and spiritual even. That's fine. What are your thoughts? What's dad's responsibility? That's right. Spiritual leadership. Yes. Unconditional love. Yes. Without love in our home, without love as a dad, we will absolutely fail. If you think about what 1 Corinthians 13 says about love and what it is and how it behaves, it's patient and kind and all those things. If we can have that as a dad, it's going to go a long ways in helping us do our job well. And what you said about leadership, spiritual leadership, but also just leadership in general in the home, it's important that we do that. What else? Pardon?
Provider.
Provider, yes. And Paul, you were saying consistency.
Yeah, if you don't know how someone's going to respond, it's not predictable.
Yeah. Right. Yes. Verno said being a provider. That's a very, very basic one. If we don't provide for our families, we're going to lose our children. The state takes children away from families all the time when they're not being provided for. That's just a basic one, but it's really important. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." What else?
Of life, giver, growth, and taker. Like, what I'm trying to do here is for your benefit.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Unselfish life giver, not a taker.
Impartiality.
It doesn't work to have favorites among your children. Very, very hurtful and damaging if that's the case. Anything else? Is that all the hats? Shepherding? Yes. Yes. Here's one that I would like to mention. I guess it's okay to talk about this on something that's being recorded. Discipline. It's dad's responsibility to, and mom's, but we need to be willing to take this responsibility of discipline in the home. And as unpopular as it is in today's society, spanking is a really healthy way to do that. Proverbs talks about this in a number of places. But it must be done carefully, and it must be done in love, and there's other things that have to come around that. Do not withhold correction from your child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. Lest you remember that. He won't die. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. And this is part of that shepherding. It's not the only part, but it's a little part. And I think it's important that we don't neglect that. But I'll follow that right up with Ephesians 6:4. It says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." And Colossians 3:21 says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." And I would just like to say that in this thing of discipline, whether it's just sitting down and having a conversation or if it's taking up the paddle and giving a spanking, it's imperative that we don't do those things in anger, because anger will destroy, and anger will just bring an angry response from our children. Our oldest son, Josh, is just finishing up a psychology class. And the very first day in class, the teacher asked the students, "How many of y'all were spanked as children growing up?" And about half of them were. And the ones who were spanked were pretty much all from military families. I found that interesting. But I guess that goes along with that corporal behavior stuff. And then the teacher asked them if they felt like it was a good thing or not. Most of them said it. Some of them said they thought it was, some negative. But mostly they said it just made them scared of their parents. And I think that's sad. I think if spanking is done very carefully, it doesn't have to be that way. I'll just share one thing. Many of y'all's children are all grown up, and this is these years are behind you, but maybe some of you are still getting started. Somebody told us, it may have been John, actually, my brother over here, that when it comes time for a spanking, if you do it very, very slowly, not like this, but just, and what that does is it ensures that you're under control and you're not doing something reaction or angry. And it doesn't take but just a little bit. And it's done as it needs to be. So, for what that's worth, be very careful with how you use that. But I think it's important that we dads discipline our children. And I think it was Paul that said that we aren't, that we're consistent. If we're going to set boundaries for our children, we need to be consistent in keeping those boundaries. And if their boundaries are crossed, we need to make sure that we discipline properly, whatever method we use, consistently. Because I think as a dad, it's so easy to fall into a laziness or whatever. And maybe our attention starts ratcheting up when the children are out of line, but maybe I'm too busy or too lazy or whatever, and so I don't go deal with that properly until I snap. And then things blow up and it's not very pretty. And then our children aren't really sure where the lines are. So let's be careful with that. Okay, there was a little thing about discipline. What else do dads do? Or what else is our responsibility? Yes. Yes. As a husband, your relationship with your wife is really important. I have down here, somewhere, husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as a weaker vessel, being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. If my relationship with my wife is broken or struggling or ugly, it will be very, very difficult for my children to respect me as a dad or to feel safe in the home. So I would just encourage us fathers to guard carefully our marriages. That's really important. Thanks for mentioning that, Paul. Anything else?
Teacher.
Yes. Yes. And that kind of goes along with shepherding. I think we need to have a vision for our children. What do we envision for them when they're grown up? Who do we want them to be? I had to think of a tomato vine in the garden, and this may have more to do with training than teaching, but teaching's part of it. The last 3 years, we've grown tomatoes. 1 year, we put cages around them. Last year, we tried doing a cable and strings like we do in the greenhouse. That was a fail. This year, we decided, you know what? We're going to just throw down straw and let them go everywhere all over the ground. Not sure how that's turning out yet. But if you're working with a tomato vine, it's very fragile, at least at the growth ends. And you have to so carefully put this thing where it needs to be and snip off the things that need to come off. And you have to sort of have a vision for where this thing's going if it's going to work. And that's how we need to be with our children. Gently shepherding, teaching, training, snipping to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord and taking them where they need to be. It's a lot of damage that can be done if we just handle that roughly. All right, anything else yet before we move on? Yes, being a good example. That's probably one of the biggest ones. That we're the man that we need to be. I have one more here that I'll mention. Well, two more actually I think are important. One of them is to be quick to own our mistakes and acknowledge them to our children. And apologize when we've done something wrong. A lot of mistakes can be covered by recognizing them and apologizing and asking for forgiveness. And children can just move beyond those things, and it doesn't cause an offense. My fatherhood experience is littered with apologies. I've made so many apologies to my children because I've handled things wrong. It's better to do that than just to pretend that you're not wrong or that you haven't made a mistake. And the last one I'm going to mention here is that fathers are to be protectors. And there's differing opinions about what that looks like. Most people in our society would immediately think of concealed carry and, you know, physically protecting their children. How do we protect our children as godly people? I'll just mention a couple things. One I already touched on. One way of protecting is to have a vision for our children and help guide them where they're to go. Where there's no vision, people perish. Another way of protecting is to create and enforce safe boundaries around our children. I'm not talking about being a helicopter mom or dad and not letting our children climb trees. I think that's healthy. I'm just talking about things like, no, we're not going to have a smartphone when you're 10. We're not going to use social media when you're 15 or whatever. Set boundaries. We're not going to listen to this kind of music or read those books or whatever the issue is. That's one way of protecting our children, an important way. Another way of protecting is to know what's going on in the hearts of our children and the lives of our children. Know them. Because if you don't know them, there can be a lot of things going on that where they need help and direction, but we can't do it because we don't know them. We can't give that. So keep an open relationship with them. And as was already mentioned, it's important that we be the man that God has called us to be. There's a lot of protection when I am a godly person and I'm not involved in things that I shouldn't be. If I'm involved in things that I shouldn't be, there's just avenues into the home and into our children's lives that shouldn't be there. So for me to walk with the Father and to abide in Christ and to be a pure and holy man is probably one of the biggest things that we can do to protect our children. Okay, we're going to move on. Dads, we're responsible for a lot. There's a lot that rests on our shoulders, practical, functional things that we're required to do, but it's almost more important is how we do them and with what spirit we do them and what our attitudes and disposition is towards our children. I don't know your homes. I don't know how you're doing as dads, but I would just want to encourage us that we step up and give it our best. We only have one chance with each one of these little children growing up in our homes. And those years will be gone so fast. We have one that's already, he's off to college. And thankfully we have one more that's on the way. So we have another chance. But those years fly by so fast. We have one chance with each one of them. Is your heart turned towards your children? Or is it too busy and distracted with other cares of life? Now, just for a few minutes here before we close, I want to turn and look at the other side of this relationship. As children, what is our responsibility to our Father? And this is going to be pretty quick. There's some of you who are pretty little here yet this morning. Little children at home. I'm going to ask them, what do you think your job is towards your parents? I don't think the little children are listening. What's the little children's job or responsibility towards dad? Anybody want to guess? Anybody under the age of 12? You're 12, Chris. What do you think?
Obey.
It's very, very simple. Ephesians 6, verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. The list for little children is pretty small. Simply obey your parents. The next verse says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And back in Deuteronomy, it says, 27, verse 16, cursed is the one who treats his father or his mother with contempt. So, and we're going to come back to this after a bit, but this thing of honoring. Children, when they're little, it's obey. But somehow I think there's a transition as we get older and we are starting to step out on our own and take responsibilities, that this thing of obedience transitions to an honoring. And I don't know that we ever grow out of that responsibility towards our parents. Honor your father and mother. Proverbs 23:6 says, my son, give me your heart. Any healthy relationship requires a giving of our heart. So it's a very superficial relationship that you don't have each other's heart. But giving your heart is an important part of a deep relationship. So us children, if we have a dad, if we can, let's give him our heart. That means that we want a deep relationship. Proverbs 1:8 says, my son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. I would just say, no matter how old we are, our dad has decades more experience than we do. So even if you're 40 and you have a dad that's 60 or 70, there's a lot we can learn from that man. And again, we have love. I think little children naturally love their parents. As we get older, it becomes more of a choice. But what love does, it covers a multitude of sins. Just read 1 Corinthians 13 again. This is how we need to relate to our parents as adults. Forgive them for their failures and mistakes. Colossians 3:13. And just general Christian graces that we need for any healthy relationship. Kindness, respect, care, communication, showing an interest to them, being long-suffering, patient, having a servant attitude, having ourself on the cross. All these things that we tend to think of as important in Christian relationships and Christian brotherhood, if we apply those to our relationship with our parents, it's going to be a good step towards having a good, healthy relationship there. So I think a lot of you have good relationships with your dads. If you do, you're a blessed person. If you're struggling, I would just encourage you to put an effort into that relationship as much as possible to build that relationship. Consider how you're contributing. Have you been wrong? Need to apologize or humble yourself before him and make things right. I don't believe that any person has a father who's unworthy of honor. Let me just say that again. I don't think any of us have a father who's unworthy of honor. Who gave us our life? Without a father, we're not here. Our father is the giver of our life. And I think if that's all he did, there's an honor that's due to that man. But besides that, did your father provide for you clothing and shelter? Did he provide for your education? Did he ever play with you as a child or give you material gifts? Did he teach you to drive? Did he teach you how to handle money? Did he pray with you or read the word to you, encourage you in life? Did he love you? Did he care about you? Probably most of us, our dads did most of those things fairly well. There's a lot of things that we can be thankful for and that we can love and honor our dads for, in spite of their many mistakes. I don't have a dad anymore that's living, and I wish I did, because there's things I'd like to tell him. And I would just like to encourage you that if you have a dad, just remember that he's a mortal man. He's just a man. He's not a Superman. We're all just men. Build him up, encourage him, bless him, and let's pursue God's vision for your relationship with your dad. And as dads, let's pursue God's vision for our relationship with our children.